I don't recall, Betty, where you were born.
London, Ontario.
London, Ontario.
Well, my mother lost her. She'd miscarried the first baby. And so I was the second one, and I was born in London, Ontario.
In a hospital there?
Well, where were you?
Around noonish I was born.
Where were they living then?
Brownsville.
They were already living in Brownsville. Okay.
So he already had started his practice.
Yeah, he bought the practice, I think, probably while he was living with his father. After he was so sick that so this was the first thing he got as a doctor, because he hadn't gone through the whole interning thing, because he was too sick that whole year.
So did he go back and finish his internship?
No, I don't think he ever did.
And when at that point did your parents get married?
They were married before he got sick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and almost very soon. Though I think they've been married in his last year before he did the interning.
Okay.
Because he used to say to me, "Oh, I think it's all right to get married while you're going to school." He said it just meant I used to work harder. So I know he was married at least 1 year before.
I know that there's a photograph of Lila with him at his graduation from University of Toronto.
Yeah.
So they were married then?
Yeah.
And then
I think so. I'd have to check it out.
So then he made it partway through his internship.
Didn't make. Yeah, I think he was just starting it when he got sick.
And then he got sick.
And yeah, so he was sick for a year. And then he went to got this practice. Now at what point money exchanged hands? But as far as I know, it's the only practice he had.
As a.
Yeah.
General practitioner.
Yeah.
I know,
but when he bought it, it had all this stuff in it because he bought it as a medical practice.
Sort of bought it as is.
So things like the microphone, microscope, and the eye testing lenses.
Yeah, and tooth pulling stuff. And Bunsen burner, I remember that. That was fast. And all of the bottles of stuff that he could mix together. And to dispense drugs.
And he had samples on a shelf of glass bottles.
We had some tiny fetuses. And the most awful thing was the tapeworms. I was so frightened I'd get one after I saw it. And fairly common for people to come in with these huge tapeworms. And he'd collect, he had them in some of them, anyway, in the bottle up there.
Did he have a way of treating them for a tapeworm?
I don't know.
There must have been some way that they came out that he ended up with them.
Yeah, being able to collect them. I don't know.
I wonder if there was a medication or something that he could give people to kill the tapeworm.
Yeah.
Did he have bottles?
Probably didn't.
Did he have bottles of live leeches?
Oh, yeah. Live leeches, very much so.
Now, did he use those for treatment?
I don't know. He must have.
Yeah.
And they've come into fashion again.
They have. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Leeches are back.
Yeah. We had no indoor plumbing. We had an outhouse. And we didn't have we had to prime the pump to get water in. And when
in his office?
Yeah, that was in his office. Now, there must have been one in the kitchen,
well,
too.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
In the kitchen.
But I can remember when real plumbing went in, it was Grandpa Park who came and helped put plumbing in from the well.
Oh.
I don't know how that did work.
Interesting.
But the outhouse, maybe he came when we put a bathroom in, but I can remember the outhouse. And the same at Grandpa Park's house, there was no bathroom. You had to use the outhouse. And the catalog, you had to go like this with your hands to soften it up. There was no toilet paper.
So the Sears catalog.
Yeah.
I've heard about people using the Sears catalog, but I never knew anybody actually did it.
Yeah.
Did they also have old corn cobs in the outhouse?
No, I remember spiders, though. I was always frightened of the spiders. Mm.
As a little kid, that would be...
Oh, yeah. Mm. The outhouse had a couple of higher holes and a lower one for kids.
Oh.
So as... And on Halloween, the local kids would come and turn the outhouse over or put it up on the electric lines or something, but that always happened every Halloween.
Was there any effort to prevent that from happening?
No, it was just country. You just, people were so, guys were guys when it was Halloween. An interesting, but I remember his horsehair furniture. It was very slippery, black, and you slid off it if you tried to sit on it.
A bench or a couch?
There was a shortish couch and a couple of chairs.
Hmm. So they had horse hide?
Horse hair. It's called horse hair. It's black and it's woven, but it's so slippery. And I don't know if it's actual horse hair or not, but it's called horse hair.
Something that's woven as a fabric.
Yeah, it's woven, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's always black.
Uh-huh.
And you slide off it very easily.
Especially when you're a little kid, your feet don't touch the ground.
That's right.
So did you see surgery performed in Brownsville?
Oh, I just remember one time I was standing, he was asking me to drip this ether onto a mask. He was doing something, setting a leg or something, and he had to have another hand.
Uh-huh.
And I just happened to be around, so I can remember standing there. And he was counting, I drip. It was very...
So he told you how many drips to allow?
Yeah, he was counting and watching what I was doing, but it just needed a hand. I don't know how old I would have been. Not very old.
Yeah, it was some 5, 6.
7 or 8, maybe. Hmm. Yeah. No, so. It was kind of... Douglas and I had good time, Grandpa Park built a beautiful swing, and I loved that. And Douglas and I were always... Dad would take us for a ride in the rumble seats of the car, pull us in our sleds behind the car.
Oh, my.
It was crazy things to do, but we did.
There was snow pack on the roads.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And he was so proud of his grapevines and his roses... And his gladiola, they all went to the fair, and he always won. Those gladiolas, he took care of every one of them like a child. He'd cross-pollinate, trying to get just the right colors and things.
So he was actually breeding.
Yeah, I guess you can do that to get the different...
Yeah.
Corms, and he would do that, and he entered them all, and all of the exhibition, they'd have all the gladiolas lined up, and he loved to garden. He never got over that.
I grew up on a farm and had to do farming as a boy.
He didn't want to be a farmer, though I think Grandpa Park was hoping he would take over the farm, but he...
So
he didn't.
His parents weren't supportive of him going to medical school?
No. Well, they wanted him to run the farm. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to follow in Clifford's footsteps and do something else. I mean, they already had one kid in university. That's every family needed a minister. That was done.
Of course.
He didn't have that.
But they didn't need a doctor.
No, yeah. But it's just incredible to me that he could have done it because he didn't have the high school. He didn't have the last year high school.
No.
And they weren't going to let him in. And he didn't have the clothes to even apply. And he went and knocked on the door and said, look, I want it. be a doctor, and they said, well, you don't even have the qualification to get in.
At the University of Toronto.
Yeah. And so they said, well, all right, we'll try you for a year. And if you don't do it, you're out, you know. And so he had to study so hard. He wasn't a natural scholar in any way. He had to work for all his marks.
That's right, because they let Clifford go and they didn't let him go,
you know,
because they didn't want to lose both boys off the farm.
Well, he needed, yeah, they wanted him to stay home to farm, mm-hmm. to run the farm, are you sure? They had that plan and he wasn't going along with it. But just, you know, to feel he could do this with nothing. And I think he had a grandmother that gave him a little bit of money and some clothes, because he didn't have the clothes. He turned the cuffs, you know, on like they used to do when they did. The clothes were worn out. And the father, the parents didn't want him to go. They wanted him to stay. A grandmother had said, well, here, try this.
So he and Clifford both went to University of Toronto at the same time.
Yeah, Clifford was there first by quite a bit, though.
But they
and they did stay together for a while.
Stayed in that.
And they didn't have any money.
So which grandmother was it that was?
I don't know which one it was. No. But you know, to be able to get through all that by selling pots and pans, mm-hmm. this shy guy, you know.
Uh-huh.
Just
he learned how to cook, and he went to the homes of prospective customers,
knocking the door,
invited the neighbors in, and they cooked up a meal showing them how.
And he could do that, how
he showed you could fry an egg.
I remember he was showing me how. He said, now this is how you do it. And he had this aluminum pan. I mean, who can fry an egg in an aluminum pan? And he'd take a little bit of a piece of paper, newspaper, put it in the pan and watch to see at what point it turned a certain brown. Then he knew it was time to put
the pan. Oh, so that was the secret.
Yeah. The temperature had to be perfect.
Just right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he became an award-winning
salesman. Yeah, he won
salesman.
Awards several years. One for being the best salesman in Canada. So
he for the was, company.
Yeah. Was wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing what he could do. I can't imagine when he had time to court my mother. Yeah, I mean she'd moved to Toronto, but I don't know anything about, except that she sang in the choir, Timothy Eaton Choir, which is a famous choir. And
is that the name of a church?
No, it's a store, I think. Timothy Eaton is a store.
Oh.
Yeah, but they had this famous choir called the Timothy Eaton Choir.
Huh.
And she worked at Eaton's store. As far as I know, she did that.
Okay.
And I don't know where she lived, how she did it,
right.
Who were friends.
Must have had a
rooming all those
house.
Years. Yeah. I've no idea. Nothing.
That's true, because she was hanging around the whole time that he was going to school.
She seemed to be, as far as I, though he never mentioned her, except that he said he was always in love with her from the time she was 16. And I have a picture of her carrying some pails of water or milk or something when she was 17 or 16. So he obviously had carried her picture around.
And what was her hometown?
Right next door to his.
In Brownsville.
Yeah.
So they knew each other as teenagers.
Or Fairground.
In Fairground.
As teenagers, they knew each other.
Yeah, and if you go to where the burial is, where Grandpa Park is buried, that family, what is there's a little burial place outside.
Cultus.
Cultus, yeah. Her parents are also buried in that same, the Marshmans. So they were must have been a close family, because both families are buried in that little ground, yeah. And she was the youngest in a family. And so her parents were all dead before I ever knew them. They were farmers.
She had a number of brothers and sisters.
Oh, yeah. a lot of them, yeah.
She was the
youngest one, yeah. And her mother, I guess, was quite old when she was born, too. Anyway, that's all I know. And what I'm really curious as to what she was doing in Toronto. Now, I know from talking to her, or I had some communication with her sister later after I retired. Her sister, I should have one sister still alive. I never met her, but we did send letters back and forth. And she said that Lila was, you know, she's the one that mentioned there was another man, another farmer that was my mother might have been in love with.
That was a farm family?
That's all. I guess he was a farmer too. From what I've still got her letters around somewhere. I should go back and check that. And she, I don't know. You know, I just don't know whether she married my dad because he was a doctor or whether she was actually in love. I know he was in love with her. That much I know from the stuff he'd written in the baby books and everything. They hadn't looked as though they had an ideal, wonderful marriage for a couple of years. A few years, too. Yeah. Since she died.
They married when he was finishing up at the university.
It would have probably been his last year, I think. Because, as I said to Barbara, he said to me, you know, it's a good thing to get married while you're in university. You just work harder. So I wasn't so sure, but he was. So I don't know if she continued working after they were married. I know she was the one that took him on the train to go to Fairground.
Right.
And
when he was sick.
In the boxcar. Yeah.
And my grandfather, they just thought she was the most wonderful person. I talked to my Grandpa Park one afternoon, and he said she was just, they just loved her. Well, Clifford says about my mother, everybody loved her, and that would be his comment. Mm-hmm. So I gather she was a very outgoing, kind of happy person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Clifford thought that was a good match because Wilford was
shy. That's what Clifford, well, you know Clifford, he's outgoing and happy too.
He recovered from the rheumatic fever and bought this practice in Brownsville.
Yeah, as far as I can gather.
And you said he pulled teeth as well as testing eyes.
Yeah. All the apparatus for doing all that was in his office.
So it had been there in the previous.
Yes,
practice.
It had been there in the previous. He just bought the whole thing. He didn't have to go out and buy all this stuff. It was all there.
Was the house the former doctor's house?
Yeah, everything was the former. Yeah. Just walked into it. When he bought the practice, he bought it as what it is.
So he bought the house along with everything.
Yeah,
and the carriage and the barn.
Yeah, and the barn and the whole thing.
He just had to change the nameplate on the
right.
Front door. But you said there was a communication device?
Yeah, there was a hole in the wall with a pipe. On the inside of the house that came out right where beside his ear, beside the bed.
Upstairs.
Yeah, and the people would come in and shout up that they need the doctor. And so he'd rush down.
There was no telephone at that time?
There was a telephone, but it was one of those cramped ones.
Uh-huh.
So whether you could get through at all hours, there may have been times when you couldn't.
And some of the patients wouldn't have any phones, I suppose.
No, a lot of them wouldn't have, no.
So you thought there were not a whole lot of patients in Brownsville?
No, I don't remember there being lined up of patients at all. I can remember going with him to various places, you know, where he had to stop for this patient. I can remember going with him to the hospital in Tilsonburg. Uh-huh. He was visiting somebody. But and I remember all the bottles of milk that he'd collected from mothers that he was giving to other mothers who needed milk because they didn't have enough milk for their babies. And I know he was very proud when the babies were named after him. So I suspect his most work was delivering babies somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Probably went to people's homes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At home, yeah.
Right.
It was done at home. It was a wonderful childhood for me because there was always stuff going on. And
you always had time.
And people, he had a handyman working around the house, helping with the gardening. Oh. That man was mentally retarded, but he was always around helping with the lawns. But his dad's greatest delight was his roses and his gardens and his flowers and his vegetable garden and entering all this stuff in prize competitions. And,
you had honey too?
He had beehives. Uh-huh. And the bee outfit completely.
Mm-hmm. So he had that whole...
The whole thing, yeah.
With the apparatus.
Yeah,
with
completely covered, yeah.
And the smoker. For smoking the bees?
I don't remember eating much honey, but I know the bees are out there.
Uh-huh. Maybe he kept them to pollinate the flowers.
Yeah. Well, maybe. He probably thought that. it was a good time to be a kid in the country. It was a happy time.
So that's when you started school, when you were in Brownsville?
Yeah. And
was it like a one-room schoolhouse?
I think there were three grades in the first year. I can't really remember. I know for some reason. Now, Catherine had been a school teacher, right? Sometime. And she didn't put me in school very early. She kept me out of school for a year. She said to play with Douglas. Now, that... She probably realized I wasn't ready for school. Mm-hmm. But my birthday was in July, and I think she put me in school in spring. So I was...
Oh, sure.
It was something weird.
Because when I was in school, we started either in September or in January.
Yeah.
Or maybe the 1st of February.
Yeah.
I mean, we had that... September or nothing.
There was two periods. But I can't remember
what
it was, but I was a year behind everybody else. I should have been in school.
But if you were born in July, they wouldn't have you start until the following.
I don't know, maybe I was sick. I had earaches all the time. Yeah, so I was sick a lot with that.
How far ahead of Douglas were you? 1 year or two?
One.
1 year.
As I recall. No, it must have been two. I can't ever remember him actually being in... He was in school somewhere back there. I know he wasn't doing well in school. And they sent him up to... That was after we were in Deep River. I couldn't have cared less.
What Douglas was doing.
Or that I was in school either. Mm. It wasn't a big issue with me. I know. I can remember the grade one teacher was Miss Spring, and she lived across the road from the house. And I can remember her coming to the house and showing Mother some pictures I had drawn. And saying, be sure you send her to art school, because my drawing was way ahead. Of course, I was a year older. I was drawing differently.
Going back a bit, do you remember when your mother died?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember her dying. I remember sitting under a table because the bodies were laid out on a table, and watching the legs go by and her coffin being up on top.
People that were there.
Yeah, and I was sitting under the table watching the legs going by.
How old were
you? I was 3, just turned 3.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So you don't have much memory at all of your mother?
No, no. I guess I had my 3rd birthday after she died. It was just, she just died a few weeks before my 3rd birthday. And, I can remember the legs going by.
I didn't realize.
And I can remember, most important, I can remember Dad saying to me, "She's gone to live with Jesus," which was the end of my religion right there. She chose God ahead of me. You know, what a thing to say to a kid. Mm.
But, you know, I suppose it was meant to be comforting. She's safe, she's gone with Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
You're thinking, what the heck?
Jesus is looking after her.
Why did Jesus take her?
Yeah, and apparently something she said as she was dying, I think it's in my baby book, but anyway, she said to my dad, "Won't Mommy be surprised?" Because her mother had already died, and she knew she was dying.
Oh, because she was the youngest, and her mother was so old at the time that she was born.
And the mother had already died, and so she was thinking she was going to see her mother. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dad was a very religious, very spiritual when it came to dying. I used to ask him about that when I was a kid, you know. What's it like when people die? And he'd say, they smile. They often mention somebody who's died before them. And he really felt that people were relating to previous deaths and died quietly and gently, because doctors stayed with people all the time when they were dying. Then they were part of the whole scene. Anyway, worked for him.
So, do you remember how long was it before he remarried and married Catherine?
I must have been about a year. I don't really know. I know it. Some people were distressed, but other times people know he needed a wife for his babies, too. But the problem was there was nobody to look after us.
Well, that's just what I was going to ask. Who looked after you at that point?
Well, there was some aunt that I'd never met who was 17 or 18 who was just coming back from the West, and her name was Ethel. I know that. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't very old. She was a kid. And that was all there was.
So Ethel came and kind of watched you and Douglas.
Yeah.
Did she come and live in the house in Brownsville?
She came and lived, I guess, because she has stories about Dad, how he sick he was, and she didn't like him. Because he asked her if she wanted to buy some of my mother's clothes. These are just reported things that she had told. She was kind of a snarky, bitchy woman. I met her later and talked to her. But the family was not happy about Lila dying.
Well.
And they blamed him.
Like somehow he
should have done more.
Magically made her better.
Yeah. And then he was sick beside, so there was nobody really to look after us for a while.
So he was having recurrence of rheumatic fever?
All his life. Yeah.
Or the effects of the heart damage.
Yeah.
Not the fever itself.
But he'd have these periods when his heart would race off and he'd have to lie down and get things ordered. And sometimes he'd go to bed with fevers for a long period. He really wasn't
so
well.
Get fevers.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, you wonder if the infection was still sort of smoldering there then. Because they didn't have the antibiotics to treat that either.
But as I was saying to Barb, once he moved to Arizona, they started giving him antibiotics all the time, every day, and his health improved a lot after that.
So he probably needed that years before.
Sure, he should have.
So do you
like me, I'm on prednisone every day.
Do you have any recollection of the marriage with Catherine?
Oh, all kinds of them.
No, I mean
at the wedding.
Wedding.
Oh, at the wedding. Yes. Oh, my. She had such a terror of a mother.
Catherine did?
Yeah.
Edith Leonard.
Yeah.
Oh, the missionary.
Yeah.
Yeah, she sounds like she was a strong woman.
Well, she was a cranky one. She hardly ever smiled. But I remember the dress that Mother had. It had little flowers all over the hanging on it. I thought it was the most beautiful dress I've ever seen. It was lovely. She was so sweet and so gentle. But that mother of hers, I guess I was misbehaving like I often will. Anyway, that mother of hers said, you've got to do better than this, or I'm not going to want you for a granddaughter. I thought my little child,
like
who was you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I never forgave her for that. Mm. It wouldn't have mattered how nice she was. She was done.
She wasn't particularly nice.
Little
kid.
I know. Well, I was probably being obnoxious, but at the wedding was in the house, their house.
Did William Leonard perform the wedding?
Yeah, as I remember, he did, yeah. There was always music in the house at home as I was growing up with Catherine. She made sure I learned how to play the piano as soon as I could. She had this paper thing, you know, that you looked at while you were playing. I was never a good student, but she tried hard, and she could play the violin. My God, she was pretty good. And she loved music, and she played records and things. Some, well, I can't remember what we had in the way. We did have an electric guitar player in Deep River.
This was all in Brownsville when they
got
married.
No, there wasn't. She played solos when there were church things, you know, that people had to perform at and everything. She would play the violin.
Oh.
And she was very good.
For part of the church service on Sunday?
No, it would be during, they would have these things where people did things and dinners and church dinners and entertainment, because that's all the entertainment people had. It's for socializing with these things. And she would perform at them.
In Brownsville?
Yeah.
What about
I don't remember Whitby at all or any, but in Brownsville she did. She used to play the violin around the house. She tried to teach Dad how to play the violin. That didn't work too well.
How close was the church to the house in Brownsville? Was that...
Was quite close. It was just sort of around the corner. Mm. Yeah, I can. Yeah, it was very much. There was a bell at the church. I know that if we were good, we could pull the rope and ring the bell once in a while.
Cool.
Yeah.
So there must have been a little bell tower.
Yeah.
And was her father the minister at that church?
No.
Okay.
No, this is in Brownsville.
Right.
No, the minister, I guess he was a minister for a short while in Fairground. And that's where Dad met her, Catherine, I think.
Fairground. Is that the place that burned down?
No, Fairground is where the house that Grandpa Park built.
The church, though.
The church. I don't know where the church
was. Which was the house that burned down where
Wesley was
shoving trunks down from the attic?
Yeah, that would have been, I guess it was somewhere around the corner. That would have been in Fairgrounds.
That's what
I don't,
thought. That was
yeah, I don't know anything about it. That house didn't exist.
The parsonage in Fairgrounds.
Yeah. No, oh, I don't know. Because I didn't know that the Leonards had ever lived in Fairgrounds, but I guess they had. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know. I remember the Leonard houses being by the railway track.
In Delhi. Delhi. Yeah. Yes, that's the one we visited them at.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Wesley was telling us stories about it.
Yeah. We very seldom ever visited anybody or anybody came to visit us.
But you said you didn't think Dad really enjoyed the practice of medicine in Brownsville?
Well, I know he enjoyed some things. He enjoyed it when the babies were named after him.
Right.
I know he loved his garden. He loved the church things. And,
so he enjoyed life there.
He did, yeah. And as I can't remember there being an awful lot of medicine going on, though. Maybe there was. Maybe
of course,
I certainly remember, you know, what the office looked like and.
I was thinking a lot of it may have been in people's homes.
Yeah, I think so, so be out around people's homes.
You know, even when I was a kid, the doctor came to
my
house to see me. I didn't go to
That's the way medicine was. I don't remember a lot of people in the waiting room.
So he may have been going out to their houses.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
But 1939 was when Canada was involved in the Second World War.
Yeah.
When did he try to enlist?
About that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And was it like 1940 that we moved to Whitby?
Probably. I don't know. Would have been about then.
So when
we didn't stay around Deep River.
Well, if you were born in 1940 and you were born in Brownsville.
Right.
Yeah, James wasn't born in Brownsville, too.
Right.
So it would have been 41 or 42 or
41. Oh, yeah, right.
Because you were, if you and James were born, you were born in
41. Yeah, I remember James
would have
been
41.
That's right.
Just
so
very young when we moved to Whitby. He might have been
so
it
must have been 41 or 42 at least.
So he must have continued his practice in Brownsville for a couple of years and while the war was going on.
Yeah, I can remember listening to the war reports, everybody having to be totally silent. He mustn't even breathe when the radio was on.
Mm.
Well, so he could hear what was going on.
So it must have been a year or so after it started anyway. I'd have to look all as up as to when we moved to Whitby. I can remember I moved first and stayed with Uncle Clifford
in Whitby
when I first went to school before they moved. I can remember that because I was, I can tell you I was in grade five. Yeah, I was in grade six. Because when we moved to Whitby, my parents decided, I was a year behind everybody else, I should skip a grade.
Oh.
And I was living with at Clifford's house at this time. So they went to the school and they said, we want her to skip grade five and go into grade six.
Hmm.
And the teacher was enraged. Of course she would.
Right. Well, who are you to come tell me? Yeah.
So I went in grade six, and I had a terrible time because we were doing long division and that kind of thing then. And I was just, I'd sit at the back of the class just in terror.
Because
I couldn't do mental arithmetic anyway. And I can remember crying and crying and going home, and Clifford's wife helping me so much, trying to work with me at night and trying to help me catch up here somewhere.
Why in heaven's?
God, I've never understood why.
Isn't that
odd? Strange.
So did you?
So I guess I knew when we moved.
Yeah.
I went into grade six, which was the year I should have gone in, would have, if I'd been put in school at a reasonable time.
Huh. So you stayed in that sequence after
yeah,
that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. So I remember staying at Clifford's house and how wonderful his wife was.
So they were living in Whitby at the time.
I don't know where. They must have been still getting ready in Brownsville to move or something, because I was the only one. Clifford was in Whitby.
That's
he had a church.
Right.
And
so he was the minister in Whitby at the time.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why, one of the reasons your dad took that
could have been
position? Because Clifford was there?
Yeah, it could have been.
I never knew that Clifford was living there.
Yeah. I have a vague feeling of Dad going away to school somewhere for a few months, but I couldn't. This is when he was in Brownsville. Uh-huh. I mean, you just can't hop into industrial medicine without some training somewhere.
Yeah.
That's just a vague memory. I don't know.
So did Douglas come up?
Douglas wasn't there. Douglas must have stayed with the family because he wasn't with me.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that odd?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it is odd, and I think I can remember some things about Clifford rehearsing his sermons, walking up and down the hall, giving his sermon that he's going to be giving
Sunday. Oh, that's
talking
wonderful.
Out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Clifford was.
That's interesting.
Clifford was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I learned him.
Did they have Bonnie then?
They must have got Bonnie when we were in Brownsville. Bonnie came.
So was Bonnie in relationship to you in age?
6 or 7 years younger.
Younger. So I never met Bonnie.
Yeah, I did. Strangely enough, she lives in Amherstburg, where Jennifer lived.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So we did go and visit her. She was a bitter woman.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Was she separated from her husband?
No. Her husband's a truck driver. Mm-hmm. But there was such a... When Clifford married again, mm-hmm. Bonnie and the new wife couldn't stand each other.
Oh,
that's interesting. Lillian.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and no, Clifford's first wife was adored by everybody. Her name was Lita.
Alita.
Lita, one of those names. And she was wonderful. She was a musician, a piano player, something like, she had something to do with church music. Anyway, then after she died, Clifford married Lillian, and Bonnie couldn't stand. But it wasn't just that. It was that, let's see, how did this go? Well, Bonnie was adopted, of course.
Right.
And
she would have been an adult at the time, wasn't she, that Clifford married Lillian?
Yeah, but that didn't matter. They fought terribly because she felt that Lillian wasn't looking after Clifford when Clifford was old and was quite sick. And Lillian, she thought Lillian should never leave him alone, and she even went so far as to call the health people to say that Lillian wasn't looking after Clifford well, and so there was an awful, awful uproar and hatred between the two families.
Because we found Lillian wonderful.
Yeah, I liked Lillian too.
Yeah. But maybe Bonnie just didn't want her father marrying this strange woman.
I'm sure. I mean, she was an only child, and I'm sure it wouldn't have mattered
who.
Who
it was.
No,
right.
That's right.
It could have been
a
St. Joan, and
that's
Bonnie
right.
Wouldn't have liked it.
Now, at one of the family reunions, when the family reunion was at Jennifer, I remember this, somebody gave Clifford a picture of the three grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and three in an oval frame. Mm-hmm. And that picture was taken around 18-something.
Right.
And it showed Clifford as a baby with his mother, her mother, and the mother before that.
Oh, wow.
It was a precious oval picture. And so this picture went to Clifford, and he valued it, and it was always on his wall. And when I went to visit Clifford one time, as he was old and not well at all, married to Lillian, Lillian said, "I think that picture should go to you, to me." Mm-hmm. That's because Bonnie was adopted, which sure. is unfair. So she asked Clifford, could the picture go to Betty? No, he wanted the picture to go to Bonnie. And it did go to Bonnie.
Okay, good. So it did.
So Bonnie got the picture.
So Bonnie has it.
So I wanted a copy of the picture. So because Jennifer is living in the same village as Bonnie, and we used to go and visit. Bonnie said, "Well, I'll lend you the picture, and you could have it copied." Mm-hmm. And I thought that was fine. So we got the picture, we took it around to all of the photographic people, and everything wouldn't touch it because it had the curved glass, and it was so old. They knew if they ever took it apart, it was damaged.
Oh.
So it would never do.
Okay.
So.
Oh dear.
And so, Michael, who's Jennifer's son, he's got a wife who's sharp as a tack. She says, "I think maybe I can somehow with the computer on the curved glass copy it." And she did.
Wow.
And I've got a copy of this thing. It's not very clear, but it's a picture of the three, Clifford as a baby and the three mothers, grandmothers, and great grandmothers.
Oh, what a
and the picture.
Precious thing to
yeah.
have.
And when Bonnie died, I would like to have had gotten the original picture, but it stayed in her family. So, but I do have a sort of a copy.
That's neat.
Yeah.
That's neat.
So Wilford went to industrial medicine in Whitby.
Yeah.
At an ammunition plant during the war.
Yeah. And we during the war, we just didn't see much of anybody. Didn't have any gas to go anywhere. Nobody had any time. It was... When I was a young teenager involved in Douglas and I were, we'd be working every summer. We always had summers picking berries for farmers and things. We'd ride our bikes out to Lake Ontario and swim out there. And we didn't have a bad childhood. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good.
In spite of the war.
Yeah.
You could bike to Lake Ontario?
Yeah.
From Whitby?
Mm-hmm.
How far was that?
Not far. We could bike in half an hour to get there. Whitby's almost, it's almost down the lake. There's a little port there.
Yeah. We haven't been to, have we been to Whitby?
We did go through Whitby looking for the old house. I don't know if we found it though.
Yeah. It's,
I guess not.
You
remember what street the house was on?
No, I'm just trying to think. Byron Street.
What?
Byron.
Byron, B-Y-R-O-N?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Brick house was a porch.
Do you remember the address?
No.
Byron Street, Whitby.
Yeah.
So Dad had a car at that time to drive
yes.
to the Ajax
plant. Oh yeah,
plant.
He's always had a car. Doctors could have cars. Mm-hmm. And they could have a little bit of gas, but nobody else did.
But then when we went to Deep River, he just had a company car. He didn't
yeah,
own...
it wouldn't matter. As long as he had wheels, he'd be
right,
okay.
Right, but he didn't own a car at that
no,
point.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, probably
there
not.
There was an old... there was a green Pontiac, I remember.
Yeah.
That we have pictures of from Deep River.
I can't remember. I know he didn't want to teach me to drive. I remember that.
But he would have to drive to work
he would have.
Because it was...
Though there were buses going to... to the plant from Deep River, but he would have gone certainly by car. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, he was pretty overwhelmed in Deep River. He just had so much to do, designing the hospitals, hiring people, setting up a medical system that worked. you know, where the doctors worked as teams, and this was all new to medicine. And then he had all this gang of kids. Warren was born. Mm-hmm. Eve came with her little boy. I mean, we just had so many kids and so many people in such a small space. Mm-hmm. It was just so hectic in a lot of ways. But so, he had a boat.
He had a as a teenager, I knew. To be in with all these kids. I mean, as a teenager, it seems like you want a little privacy.
I had a good life. There's just so much to do. We had every sports facility there was. There were teams that they even taught us gymnastics. We had a field team. We had sailing. We had tennis. We had everything.
That's great.
To do, because it was a company town.
Ah.
Yeah. So.
Did Douglas and you have to share a room?
I had a room by myself.
Okay. So Douglas had a room to himself.
Yeah, but they sent him off to North Bay pretty
Douglas
young.
Douglas was gone.
Yeah, pretty
he
young.
He had to leave when Eve moved in.
We had Mrs. Furlong before Eve. And she was a lady from Scotland. And Dad had built a little skating rink out back beside the house. And when she didn't stay with us awfully long because she decided she'd go out one night and see if she could skate, and she broke her leg.
Oh, dear. Oh,
so
my.
She got sent back to Scotland.
Really?
With a broken leg. Oh, dear.
And then I guess we must have had no housekeeper for a little while, but really the household could not function in any way without a competent housekeeper, because Catherine couldn't keep house. And she wasn't interested. She was interested, she just wasn't capable of organizing anything like that.
Huh.
Her mind was off somewhere.
Poetry or
it could be, or
music,
painting or anything, or something she'd read, or she was just.
Did she do painting herself?
Oh, she could paint. She had a little journal. She'd write stuff in, and she'd write poetry, and she. I mean, with all this total chaos around her, and I can remember inviting somebody home to visit, and I think this was in. Oh, I can't remember where it was, but the house was an awful, ghastly mess, like it always was. And this person came in and looked around and said, "Well, you got a lot of nerve inviting somebody home to this." She had a sweetheart, but she was totally capable when it came to keeping house.
You had friends in Deeper. Was one of them Marie's sister?
Yeah. Patty. Now, she came to his funeral last week.
Oh, really?
I guess I wouldn't have seen her, but Jennifer said she was there, and she lives in Halifax with her daughter, and she's partially paralyzed and can hardly talk.
Oh, dear.
So she's a year younger than I am. So that's all. I haven't seen her for years and years and years, but she did go to Murray's funeral.
I think we have a picture of the two of you on the front steps of the 9 Beach Avenue.
Patty was a tremendous athlete. She was a swimmer. And all her life, she competed in the Masters Swim all over the world.
Wow.
Yeah. But then she developed some kind of a blood thing in her neck here, and had to give up. And then she eventually had the stroke. So. Mm. But she was just a natural athlete. But I never kept in touch with her, of course, after Murray hauled out and got a new wife. We lost track.
Was it through her that you met Murray?
Well, they were the same family, and they lived in Deep River.
Right.
Yeah. So I just met him one summer. He moved to Deep River he'd been living in Montreal.
The family had?
Yeah. His father was a Dane, and he had come to Canada as an immigrant, and he was an engineer, mechanical engineer.
So was he involved with the Chalk River plant, the father?
Oh yeah, he was in charge of all of the mechanical stuff that was going on. Even though he was an immigrant, he had worked his way up from working on the railway, which is where he met Murray's mother, in a farm out west.
Oh.
And she was pregnant, and the father said, please do something, and he said, I'll marry her, and he did.
She was pregnant already?
With somebody else's kid.
Oh, that's interesting.
So the first child that Murray's father had was a boy, and Murray was the first boy, the next baby. So when the mother finally left, went off with somebody else, she took the older boy with her and left Murray and Patty alone. The father was off working somewhere for 2 or 3 days, and Patty was in diapers, and Murray was old enough to climb up and get cornflakes out to feed his little sister till the father came home.
Good.
Well, the father was a gruff old European Dane. I couldn't stand him, but he was not a nice guy.
So
but anyway, he wasn't making much money then, and they lived on welfare. And Murray remembers having to wear welfare clothes and being hungry and hoping somebody would give him something to eat. You know, he had a terrible childhood.
But the father comes home and finds his...
Yeah, the mother gone, everything's gone.
And the two children there by themselves.
Alone, yeah.
Oh, my heavens. That's horrible.
So, yeah. And he used to beat Murray with a belt. And the school people, you would see these bruises and report them. You know, that this father. Now, this father was a brilliant engineer, though, and ended up in all of the mechanical stuff at Chalk River. So. And he comes as an immigrant working on that.
So, did he end up marrying somebody else? Or what?
Eventually, he married somebody else, yeah,
but he
a
just
young wife.
Basically raised these two kids and was out on the railroad
And then ended up working at a boiler plant and worked his way up, and you know, within 20 years he was where he should have been and was considered a very, very bright engineer.
Wow. And by that time there was a second wife and the kids were okay.
Yeah.
And everybody was eating
They were teenagers at this time.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, he had an unhappy, a terrible, terrible childhood compared to mine that was so pastoral in the village in Ontario. So in a lot of ways that accounted for some of the problems in the marriage, because I was so passive and quiet, and that's the way we were brought up. Nobody really yelled or got spanked or, you know, there wasn't anybody got hit. Nobody got hit by belts and screamed at.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the way Murray was. That's the way he knew, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's how we'd been brought up.
Yeah. So.
Did he resort to that kind of thing in disciplining your children?
Murray?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was. He was really rough on him. He really was. And he was very highly emotional, which had attracted me to him in the first place. But, it just didn't work. At one point he said to me, why don't you fight back? I don't know. You can't if you grow up apart.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it was fine. I would have married the same guy over again at that age, I guess. you change with the years.
And you came to Minneapolis with Murray.
And Murray was going to school here.
There.
I really wanted to marry him, obviously, and I'm glad I did. But I just... at that time, knowing as much as I knew then, I probably would do it again. But he certainly, got three nice kids, though.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah.
Got three great kids.
Yeah. I would have thought Charlie was boring beyond belief. when I was that age.
So you lived with Marie on the third floor.
House
on Humboldt Avenue for a while.
That's right.
Was he finishing his PhD?
Yeah. And he had just finished his master's. He'd taken a year off to make some more money, and we didn't have a place to stay, and Dad had said, well, look, come and you can live here, but you're going to have to be the housekeeper, because Evelyn needs a housekeeper, because he was marrying her at that time, I guess. So he'd already said we could stay there, and so he didn't want to say, no, you can't, and Evelyn needed a housekeeper, so that's how I was the housekeeper that year. Oh, my goodness.
Did that upset Evelyn that you guys were living upstairs?
Oh, she cut the house in the middle, and I looked after the kids and cooked, and she had her own section of the house. She'd come down for meals, but that was about all. You know, she had her own rooms up there and her own study, and Dad had his study, which was part of her part of the house.
In the front.
In the front. Yeah. And you guys were all in the music room and
in
the big dining room at the back, and I was upstairs.
Right.
On the third floor.
When they got married, Evelyn insisted on putting in a new carpet in the living room.
Yeah.
And then after that, the living room was off.
Off limits. Nobody
off limits
could,
for the
that's
kids.
Right. And the furniture was all covered with plastic until somebody came. Then she'd take the plastic off.
I remember your friend saying, I called the house for you. And they'd say, well, we'll have to see if Robert's in. He said, in my house, everybody would have known if somebody was there or not.
Yeah. Well, that was a big house, too, though. And it was...
Who was that?
Your friend Jeff. Yeah, Jeff. But that... I remember him saying that just amazed him that you could call there and that people wouldn't know if you were home or not.
You really wouldn't.
But if they're off in one section and the boys are off in another section.
Yeah, no, there was certainly split up in every way.
Yeah. Which in most families you wouldn't.
This way, it had no real resemblance as a family after Evelyn came.
Now, did it relax some after you two left, and then after, and Warren was just there? Do you know if Evelyn sort of opened things up when it was just Warren?
I think she must have, because Warren seems quite, his attitude towards things is very different
than the rest of us.
Yeah.
They sold the house, moved to a smaller house, and sent Warren to a private school.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was a day school.
Right. Yeah.
It was some kind of an academy or something.
Right. It wasn't too far away, I guess.
Yeah.
So when there was just one kid to deal with, she could handle that.
Well, the rest is,
But she was just overwhelmed with all these other kids.
Oh, and the kids, nobody was accepting her either. Mm-hmm. And I mean, here she's moving into another woman's bedroom, even. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what in the world he expected. I mean, that's nuts.
Yeah.
And then she has got me
upstairs.
this strange daughter from where, with a baby and Murray. Oh, well, I don't know. Oh, dear. Anyway, I sure did cook and clean a lot.
You earned that.
I did.
That apartment. You earned that apartment.
Yeah, I did. I had to do all the cooking and the cleaning and keep the things going in the household.
And then, heaven forbid, Robert should babysit.
Yeah. Oh, she didn't know what was going on most of the time anyway.
I remember when we first moved into the house in Minneapolis, there were tenants on the third floor.
Oh, yeah.
They had leases that weren't up yet, so we had to wait till their leases ran out.
I didn't know that.
Then you moved in, and then it was vacant after you left.
Yeah. So we eventually.
Actually, on one occasion, I discovered myself on the floor upstairs in the rented area, and I thought a burglar must have taken me up, put me down here. I obviously had gone sleepwalking upstairs into the third floor.
Really?
Yeah. And I quietly went back downstairs and didn't wake anybody up there. So.
Yeah, there was it was a whole apartment on the third floor mm-hmm. for the maid.
Right.
Yeah. Which was fine. I mean, these would get Murray through school anyway. Oh, dear.
So you could take Linda downstairs while you were cooking and cleaning.
Yeah, she was around. She had a little tricycle. She used to ride some. Mm-hmm. She used to play with you guys a lot. Warren was only 7 or so, 8 himself.
Right.
And she would have been, 2 maybe or 3 at that time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we've got pictures of her in the driveway at Humboldt Avenue.
Yeah.
With the tricycle, I guess. Does she have any memories of that time?
I don't know. She's a hard person to talk to. About things, Murray was so awful to her. I think in a lot of ways she's just kind of cut a lot of things out of her life and doesn't think about it because she had a hurtful life with him, especially towards the end when he was in love with a teenager. He was just horrible to her. It's almost as though he was hating himself and was somehow hating her. It was a very complex thing, and it was at the point where I couldn't even feed them at the same table.
Heather was a teenager when?
Yeah, when he started to go with her. He had this affair going for several years.
Oh, wow. So this was not a sudden thing.
No. He kept saying, it's over, it's over, it's over. I really care about you, it's over. And then it wouldn't be, mm-hmm. And one of these things that staggers on and on and on. So finally.
Was she a student when?
Yes, she was a phys ed student.
When he met her.
But she's. I think it worked. It worked in the end because he did end up marrying her, and she hung right in with him.
To the end,
and she had this father fixation. She worshipped him, just worshipped him like a god, and she did all her life. And she was so it was really good for him, much better than I. Who knew him as a teenage kid fishing in the brook, So it was good for him. He needed that.
And did he have a better relationship with their child?
I don't know. See, he had a vasectomy when he was married to me, so that boy they had was from artificial insemination.
That's right.
So I don't... You see, Murray... retired not that long ago after that little boy was born. He retired at 55 or so. He hated his job after all this effort that I put in. But he hated it.
Interesting.
And so he retired as soon as he could. And so the little boy came along. So when the little boy was in school, Murray was making him lunches and gardening and doing all the things he wanted to do.
So there wasn't a lot of pressure on him, so probably wasn't as much pressure.
Well,
Heather
was out working. Heather taught school at that time. And so Murray took over the household things and grew his garden and his gourds and made jam, and he entered into competitions and looked after the little boy.
So he had a nice life at that point.
He did. I think as good as he was able to have. Yeah. And I saw quite a bit of Murray at the end, when he had Alzheimer's and We sort of reconnected because she couldn't look after him anymore and didn't want to. And so she got a caregiver for him. And I would look after him a lot and take him up to Linda's a lot. And he loved being with his first family at this time.
He probably remembered it.
Oh, he could.
Because of the long term.
He'd say, I shouldn't have left, he'd say. I shouldn't. You know, he was having regrets, mm-hmm. and he kept wanting to come and live with me after all these years.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, I had a certain amount of compassion. I mean, we had 21 years together. Mm-hmm. So we spent a lot of time talking, and we'd go over the albums and everything. But, I used to tell him, we used to talk about how great his marriage was to Heather.
Uh-huh.
And I would tell him how great it was being married to Charlie. And it was how great it was that we didn't marry each other. So it was a strange relationship. But really it worked for both of us. It was a good ending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I am totally grateful I didn't spend a lifetime with him. Though I would have married him again being 18.
So you were 18 when you got married?
No, I was 20, 21 or something. But I was, at that age, you're still a child.
Oh, yeah.
But you were a teenager when you met him.
Yeah. And we were just like two wild Indians, the two of us. We were always out fishing and canoeing and always together, just inseparable as teenagers.
Probably if you'd been able to continue that kind of relationship and didn't have the PhD hanging over your head.
The PhD was enough to ruin anybody.
Yeah.
So, in Deep River, did you ever, when you went to the movies at the prisoner of war camp, did Murray ever go with you?
No, because I was there a year or so before he was. He hadn't moved to Deep River by that time.
Oh,
that was
okay.
Just in the beginning.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
So that was within walking distance of where we lived in
Deep River? Yeah, it was.
Because I never saw it.
No, it would have disappeared within a year after.
I see.
They took the Germans, went back home again or wherever they went, and they tore everything down.
What happened to the camp after that?
I don't know. Yeah, they must have torn it down. It was surrounded by barbed wire and stuff.
Do you remember anything about Dad in Deep River helping to start the community church?
Yeah, I do. And he worked hard at building the community church. And it went really well. But he was distressed because the Anglicans wouldn't join. They were a snobby bunch. What was wrong with them? They weren't going to join the community. I remember how upset he was about that. It was all right for the Catholics not to join. They had their own church up by the road. But for the Anglicans to actually say they weren't going to join, that was
that was too much.
Yeah. But he ran the Sunday school, of course. And I used to have to play the piano in Sunday school and stuff.
So it's a good thing you learned the piano.
I would practice the damn hymns and be careful I got picked out of hymns that didn't have too many sharps and flats. Practice and go and play these things. And by the time I was about 15, I said, that's it. I'm not going to church anymore.
Did the community church have a building then, or was that?
No, it was in the community center.
Okay.
We met first in the community center. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Well, and he was running the Boy Scout troop, wasn't he? Or
Brownsville.
In Brownsville, he was doing, right, he was doing that.
Yeah, we have the.
He had time to do a lot of stuff the doctors don't have anymore.
Yeah, we have the hat that he used as a troop leader in Brownsville.
Yeah.
But so by the time you were in Deep River, he wasn't doing.
I wasn't doing anything like
by
that.
By the time
no.
you remember,
right?
And
no.
he wasn't doing that. No. So he never was your Boy Scout leader.
No.
No. Although James and I joined the Scout troop associated with the Hennepin Avenue Methodist Church in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm.
Oh, once you moved to Minneapolis.
Right.
Yeah.
In a meeting hall adjacent to the parking lot of the church.
Mm-hmm. For the Boy Scouts?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
An old building that since been torn down.
Well, we should gather up the dishes and get on with the day.
It's been a good recording session.
Thanks for the reminiscences.
Oh, well, you're certainly welcome.